Ashcroft and Come On People for Bradley. Before that, a Thomas Dolby, I Love You Goodbye. It's not much of a chat-up line, is it, for Louise, who said, fun fact, did you know that Thomas Dolby invented the polyphonic ringtone for mobile phones? No, I didn't know that, actually, Louise. Thank you very much. Do you know anything about radio transmission towers? More importantly, a very good morning to Stuart and Margaret Ann. I'm so sorry I wasn't here when you delivered a gift for us yesterday. Tunnocks, tea cakes and caramel wafers. Hands off, Alan McNish. We hope the little gift goes with your coffee. Might have something stronger than that with it. And if it's undelivered, it can be re-gifted to Alan McNish. No, certainly not. Thanks for keeping us amused in France with our second home in Vence. We're glad you managed to make it after all the difficulty of the past few months. So thank you very much. The Tunnocks wafers and tea cakes. I think I prefer the tea cakes to the wafers, but I'll try them both anyway. Here's today's Wimbledon update from the BBC.
Wimbledon update from the BBC with Lee James.
Welcome to day 10 of the Wimbledon Championships. It's women's semi-finals day, and the top seed Ashleigh Barty of Australia is through to her first Wimbledon final. She completed a straight sets win, 6-3, 7-6. Over the former champion, Angelique Kerber of Germany. And it is the Australian into that final. Our tennis commentator Chris Dennis is with us. Let's reflect on this match first of all, Chris. You were watching. Barty started strong. Some resistance late on from Kerber when she was trying to take it into a decisive set.
Yes, it looked for all the world, Lee, that the match would go into a deciding set. And it was a match of real quality and frankly did deserve a third set. Kerber got the early break in the second set, really upped her level. And she was serving for that second set at 4-5, 5-4. But back came Barty. Kerber had just a little mental wobble, I felt, when she was serving for the set. And that was just enough for Barty to come back and take it into a tiebreak, which she sealed on the fourth match point. So a brilliant performance from Barty, who's through to her first ever Wimbledon final.
And she had to pull out of the French Open with injury, Chris. She wasn't able to play any of the build-up events to Wimbledon, but she's dropped just one set on her way to the final. She seemed to be mentally and physically strong today.
She does, and she's getting better and better round by round, building that momentum very nicely indeed. 38 winners today. She won 88% of points behind her first serve. And the combination of slice, which was devastating, keeping the ball really low, and then turning on the heat, turning to the topspin when needed, was very impressive indeed. And we should pay tribute also to Kerber, who played her part in a thrilling semi-final. She looks like a player reborn, and I think Kerber can leave Wimbledon this fortnight with her head held very high indeed.
Yes, after first-round exits at the Australian and French Open, it is a semi-final defeat today for Angelique Kerber as Ashleigh Barty goes through to her first Wimbledon final.
Wimbledon update from the BBC.
And in that Wimbledon final, Ash Barty will play Karolina Pliskova of the Czech Republic. She came from a set down to defeat the second seed, Aryna Sabalenka of Belarus, winning 5-7, 6-4, 6-4. This was a serve-dominated battle, as we would expect. Great from both players today, though. Real physical effort from both of them. In the end, it was Pliskova who came through. And Chris, she hadn't dropped a set coming into this final, so she showed great mental fortitude to come back after going a set down today.
She's very much been a player under the radar so far this tournament, Lee. And yes, the first set dropped today, but I thought she played with great composure. And in the end, it was Sabalenka who can blow hot and cold. And I felt that she became increasingly erratic, particularly in that second and third set. And all credit to Pliskova for just retaining and maintaining her composure while her opponent on the other side of the net rather self-destructed on occasion. It was a very, very accomplished, polished performance by Pliskova today, who's had a reputation, perhaps unfairly in the past, of maybe not handling the big occasion when it really, really matters. Came up just short in the US Open against Kerber a few years ago and has had match points in previous meetings against Sabalenka and has maybe not always been able to get over the line, but she did today, and it was quite fitting for me that she sealed match point with a stunning ace.
Yes, that ace was the 13th of the match. She's the tournament leader with 53 aces. And I guess if we look ahead to the final now, Chris, is it going to be about the serve from both players, but how does Barty handle that Pliskova serve?
Yes, I think that's exactly where the final could be won and lost. I think Barty has the momentum, though, coming into this final, as we said. She also leads the head-to-head 5-2 against Pliskova. If we should read too much into that, I don't know. And I just wonder whether it's written in the stars. It's 10 years this year since Barty won the girls' title here at Wimbledon, and it's 50 years since a fellow Australian, Yvonne Goolagong, won her first Wimbledon title. That was way back in 1971. So maybe it's written in the stars for an Australian victory on Saturday.
Well, will it be the Australian then on that anniversary of Yvonne Goolagong's title, or will it be the Czech player, only the third to lift the Wimbledon title? We will find out on Saturday then. We've got our finalist. It's Ash Barty and Karolina Pliskova, both playing in their first Wimbledon final. That's all from day 10 of the championships. Goodbye.
Yvonne Goolagong, I remember her. She became Yvonne Corley afterwards when she got married, didn't she? But it wasn't nearly as much fun as Yvonne Goolagong. Now, my Irish friend Kieran told me a joke yesterday. He said, you know that penalty that England got against Denmark on Wednesday nights? He said they're going to put it in the British Museum along with all the other stuff they've stolen. On the subject of Kelly and Andy are wondering if I could possibly shoehorn three lines in. Even though it has nothing to do with the theme. All right then, just this once. The London Times today says the UK's Brexit divorce bill is €47.5 billion, according to estimates from Brussels that are higher than the government's forecasts. The first tranche, €6.8 billion, is due for payment by the end of the year. The final bill, buried in the European Union's consolidated annual accounts for 2020, is significantly higher than the earlier estimates from the UK's fiscal watchdog. In 2018, the budget for office responsibility put the Brexit bill at €41.4 billion. During the Brexit negotiations, British government officials said the final bill would be around €35 to €39 billion. And the bill covers the UK's share of EU debts and liabilities during 47 years of membership, such as paying for infrastructure projects, pensions and sickness benefits for EU officials. The Irish Times says that spread of the coronavirus Delta variant is causing growing concern in government, with fears over a spillover of infections from the United Kingdom. The Taoiseach Michael Martin and the HSE Chief Executive Paul Reid highlighted the highly transmissible mutation, and they urged the public to be cautious as a fourth wave of COVID-19 infections looms. And the local Italy says Italy's Football Federation said up to 1,000 fans will be able to travel from Italy to London for Sunday's Euro 2020 final, following a deal struck with British authorities. Italy will play England, who reached their first final in 55 years after beating Denmark on Wednesday night. Shouldn't worry, half of Italy lives in London already, doesn't it?
Riviera Radio, with the latest local news for the south of France.
I'm Rob Harrison with the top stories across the Riviera. The French government's issued advice on summer travel with a list of countries to avoid because of a resurgence in coronavirus due to the rapid spread of the Delta variant. People are advised to avoid travel to the Iberian Peninsula and Catalonia and Portugal in particular, where the Delta variant is causing great concern. Other countries on the warning list are Tunisia, which is very popular with French holidaymakers, South Africa, Brazil, Argentina and Colombia. While travel to the destinations on the list isn't banned, people are being strongly discouraged to do so. The legendary Hollywood director Steven Spielberg and his wife Kate Capshaw are cruising off the Mediterranean coast, but it's not been confirmed that they will pay a visit to the Cannes Film Festival. The director is 74, is the owner of the Seven Seas, one of the world's most luxurious super yachts, which he bought in 2010 for $200 million. The couple enjoyed a discreet dinner at the Hotel du Cap in Antibes earlier this week, and it wouldn't be a surprise if they make an appearance on the red carpet. There are two competition films today. La Fracture, or The Divide, from the French director Catherine Corsini, stars Pierre Marmaille and Valeria Bruni Tedeschi as a couple on the verge of a breakup who find themselves in a hospital emergency department as a huge demonstration is taking place in Paris. Meanwhile, Paul Verhoeven's biographical drama Benedetta stars Virginie Efira as a novice 17th century nun who joins an Italian convent and starts a love affair with another woman. Charlotte Rampling and Lambert Wilson also star.
J'ai vu Jésus. Il est venu à moi. C'est son épouse, n'est-ce pas? C'est Jésus qui m'a fait ça.
Les stigmates!
Jésus-Christ a choisi notre bienheureuse sœur.
Santa Benedetta.
Benedetta.
Vous me trouvez trop prompt à croire à ce miracle?
Dieu te quittera. Bartoloméa a-t-elle fait quelque chose qui vous est fâché? Non. Avez-vous de l'affection pour elle?
Ce qui se passe ici est un blasphème.
Ce qui compte, elles le savent déjà.
Si cette sœur est coupable du blasphème dont vous l'accusez, elle ira au bûcher. Mais des accusations extraordinaires exigent des preuves extraordinaires.
Sacrilège !
Renonce à ta vanité. À vous !
On ne comprend pas toujours les instruments de Dieu. Peut-être a-t-il mis Benedetta en transe ? Ou bien Dieu nous a envoyé une folle qui débite des sottises pour servir ses desseins.
Looks absolutely gripping, that film. Both films are obviously in French with English subtitles. Two cyclists have been killed after being hit by a car on the RD10 Routes des Arcs at Lorgue in the Var on Thursday. Authorities said the two, both men aged 64 and 66, were in a group of eight cyclists when a car coming from the opposite direction hit them head-on. Emergency services were unable to save the two victims. The 30-year-old driver has been treated for shock at Draguignan Hospital and will be interviewed by police when fit. Both the men killed were local to the area. A 30-year-old woman and her 5-year-old child have had a miraculous escape after the car they were in hit the central reservation at the A8 motorway and turned on its roof. The accident happened near Le Luc on the eastbound carriageway of the road on Thursday afternoon and caused a lengthy traffic jam. Fortunately, the woman who was driving the car and the child managed to free themselves before emergency services arrived. Both have been taken to hospital with serious but not life-threatening injuries. The French Animal Welfare Association, SPA, says it fears it will no longer be able to accommodate the increasing number of abandoned pets that urgently need help. The SPA says that animal refuge centres are close to capacity, with a particular shortage of places and catteries. At the start of May, there were 8,932 abandoned animals being housed in SPA shelters, an increase of 6% on figures from 2019. The figures have since increased by 14%, and it's not just cats and dogs that are being abandoned, but all sorts of animals, including reptiles. The SPA says that 2021 looks like it will be a record-breaking year for animal abandonment and has criticised irresponsible internet sales as well as impetuous, thoughtless purchases. Some 100,000 pets are abandoned every year in France. The government is working on legislation to tighten regulations on animal sales, particularly on the internet. And the readers of the French magazine Propriété Le Figaro have voted Saint-Raphaël-en-the-Var as the most attractive seaside town in the country. 22.51% said they would like to buy a property in Saint-Raphaël, with Cap Ferret on the other side of the Baie d'Arcachon in second place with 22.22%. Le Lavandou was third most popular with 21.35%, with Saint-Tropez down in ninth place overall.
The Euro 2020, brought to you by West Nautical, the experts in superyacht charter sales and management. Make your yachting experience the best it can be by contacting our multi-language experts today on 3348902 7211 or email info@westnautical.com.
England will play Italy at Wembley on Sunday night in the final of the European Championship. It's the first time that England have qualified for the final of a major tournament since the World Cup in 1966. The side has conceded only one goal in the tournament so far and is helping to give the country a boost after what's been a difficult 18 months because of the coronavirus pandemic. Italy, managed by Roberto Mancini, who knows all about England from his time as Manchester City boss, are unbeaten in 33 games and have won their last 14. Kick-off on Sunday night at Wembley at 9 p.m. On a negative note, UEFA has charged England after a laser pointer was directed at the Denmark goalkeeper, Kasper Schmeichel, during Wednesday night's semi-final. TV pictures showed a green light on Schmeichel's face just before Harry Kane took the extra-time penalty that gave England the win. England have also been charged with causing a disturbance during Denmark's national anthem and setting off fireworks. The case will be dealt with by UEFA's disciplinary board. Here's more football from BBC Sports.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Hello, I'm Andy Barwell at the BBC Sports Centre. The man who masterminded Leicester City's famous Premier League success in 2016 has been talking about Sunday's clash between England and Italy for the European Championship. The former Leicester and Chelsea boss Claudio Ranieri has given the BBC his views on the weekend's big game.
It's 50-50, but Italy is ready to fight, is ready to play football, is ready also to win. I hope the referee is a very good referee. That is important now.
That's the former Leicester and Chelsea manager Claudio Ranieri. Jose Mourinho has defended his recent record in the Premier League by claiming what is considered a disaster for him, other coaches never achieved. He was sacked by Tottenham Hotspur last season. Speaking at a news conference to mark his role as head coach at the Italian side AS Roma, Mourinho pointed out at his last three clubs he was a Premier League winner at Chelsea, a winner of three trophies at Manchester United, and he made it through to the League Cup final with Spurs. Crystal Palace have completed the signing of Michael Alaez from Reading. The 19-year-old attacking midfielder has signed a five-year contract and he becomes Palace's first arrival since Patrick Vieira was appointed as the club's new manager. And the newly promoted side Watford have signed the Nigerian midfielder Peter Etebo on a season-long loan with an option to buy from the Championship team Stoke City. It'll be Etebo's third loan spell from Stoke since he signed a five-year contract with them just ahead of playing for Nigeria at the 2018 World Cup in Russia. For more football news on the BBC, go to bbc.com/football.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Riviera Radio Sports News.
The organisers of the Tokyo Olympic Games have announced that they will be held without spectators due to rising cases of coronavirus. The Japanese Olympics Minister made the announcement following discussions with officials and organisers on Thursday evening. A state of emergency in Tokyo will run throughout the Games to combat the virus. Bars and restaurants will not be allowed to serve alcohol. They must close by 8 p.m. Coronavirus infections are rising in Tokyo as the 23rd of July opening ceremony gets closer. Tennis. The women's final at Wimbledon will be between Ashley Barty and Karolina Pliskova. Barty beat Angelique Kerber 6-3, 7-6 to reach her first Wimbledon final, while Pliskova beats Anya Sabalenka in three sets. It's men's semi-finals day today. Novak Djokovic plays Denis Shapovalov and Matteo Berrettini faces Hubert Hurkacz. Cycling Niels Pollitt of Germany has won stage 12 of the Tour de France. Pollitt led home a sprint finish to Nîmes as the riders took a breather on the mainly flat stage following Wednesday's exertions on the Mont Ventoux. Tadej Pogačar still holds the leader's yellow jersey by 5 minutes 18 seconds from Rigoberta Uran, heading into stage 13 today, which is 219.9 kilometres from Nîmes to Carcassonne. Another bunched sprint finish is a strong possibility. Cricket. England have beaten Pakistan in the first one-day international in Cardiff. The new-look England side skittled the tourists out for 141 in just 35.2 overs. In reply, England got to the target in just 21.5 overs in a total of 142 for one to win by 9 wickets. And in rugby union, there are several international matches tomorrow. New Zealand play Fiji, Wales host Argentina, England play Canada, and Ireland play the United States.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Accelerate Marine.
Four coastal areas up to 20 miles offshore the Almaracim and the Var. The general situation is high pressure, 1,027 millibars over the Pyrenees, and a depression, 1,013 millibars over the Côte d'Azur, losing its identity. Winds are variable or southwesterly, force 2 to 4. The sea is slight, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Saint-Jean-Cap-Ferrat, 1,014 millibars. Then the outlook for Saturday, clear skies, force 2 to 4, southwesterly winds, slight seas, and good visibility. For North Corsica, winds are west-southwesterly, force 3 to 5. The sea is slight to moderate. Visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Cap Corse, 1,013 millibars. And the outlook for Saturday, clear skies, force 3 to 5 westerly winds, slight seas and good visibility.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Accelerate Marine. For enhanced, high-performing connectivity on board your yacht, speak to our expert team today about our VSAT and 4G packages. Visit connectmyyacht.com.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Polygon Riviera in Gagnes-sur-Mer, open-air shopping and leisure centre.
We had a short, sharp shower in JLP yesterday afternoon. I was doing some work inside and I heard the pitter-patter of rain on the awning outside, so I had to run out and grab the garden furniture covers quickly before they got soaked. Anyway, I don't know where that came from. Should be mainly fine today. Light variable winds, temperatures 26 to 30 degrees, overnight lows 19 to 21 degrees with clear skies. The weekend clear skies, highs of 26 to 30 degrees.
The weather forecast brought to you by Polygon Riviera in Gagnes-sur-Mer, open-air shopping and leisure centre. Shops, restaurants, cinema, casino, gym. There is something for everyone. Only 20 minutes from Monaco and Cannes. Visit polygon-riviera.fr.
Finally, a rare blue lobster was discovered as part of a Rochdale pub seafood delivery and has since been saved from becoming lunch. The Hare on the Hill pub in Littleborough received its regular morning seafood delivery from Scotland, but the head chef, Austin Hopley, was shocked to discover a fully grown blue lobster within the order. He decided a pot of boiling water was no place for such a rare crustacean, so he sought to find the lobster, who is nicknamed Larry, a new home. He said, "I've never seen anything like this blue lobster before. I decided to do a little online research into what had been delivered. After realising the rarity of the lobster, I couldn't bring myself to put him on the menu." And Mr. Hopley discovered the colour mutation that caused Larry to be blue was exceptionally rare, occurring naturally at a rate of a 1 in 200 million, according to the University of Maine Lobster Institute. He said, "After a little discussion, I knew the morally right thing to do was to find him a forever home where everybody could appreciate him." The chef and his co-worker called local garden centres and aquariums to try to find Larry a forever home, but initially they came up empty. After sharing the story on social media, it was suggested that Mr. Hopley try Sea Life Manchester. Following a call to the aquarium's director, a marine expert was sent to the Hare on the Hill to bring Larry to his new home. And they all lived happily ever after. Morning to Andrew. You're good with lobsters, wouldn't you? Would you cook that one, Andrew? Sounds good. No, maybe not.